If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Thankful for the ones of you who are willing to get up and raise your voice and let the Lord use you and your talent that he has blessed you with to worship him. I believe that singing definitely is a big part of our service. It prepares our heart for God's word. Gives you something that you can go home and talk good about when the service is over. And I ask you this morning as we get into God's word, if you will, just be much in prayer for me. Seems that God's laying different types of messages. I'm more of a topical preacher. Seems like I get on a topic and preach. In the last couple of weeks, I've been more of a expositional, I guess you could say, going through the scripture verse by verse. And sometimes that's a little tough for me. But if you will, just be much in prayer for me this morning and pray that God will just use me in the thought that he's put on my mind out of 2 Peter chapter number 1. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day, God, and we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. God, I thank you for this time that we have to be gathered as a family, to get into your word, to lift our voices, to raise our hands, to worship you. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into your word for just a few minutes, that you'll open our hearts, that you'll open our minds. God, that you'll actually help us to forget about the things that are happening after a while and tomorrow and all those things. And God, help us just to spend a few minutes just in a close relationship with you, heeding only to your word and to your small, still voice that's working in our heart. God, I pray that you'll take this scripture and speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to always be exactly what you'd have us to be. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. And I will go ahead and say this. I don't think a whole lot about how I preach. I've listened to myself preach, and I've told you a couple of times, I don't know why y'all keep coming back, but thank you for doing that. I really appreciate you coming back, but I don't know why you do after I listen to myself preach, but you know what? What I do when I get in the pulpit, I just ask God to get me out of the way and have his will when we get in the pulpit. And if he'll do that, and if I'll allow him to do that, it don't matter how I preach, if it's verse by verse, if it's topical, if it's whatever, God will take his word, and he said that his word wouldn't return void, and he'll speak to our hearts, and then I just need to quit worrying about everything else and let him do his job. But in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, where we're going to begin reading this morning, I want you to notice that we have a letter that is being written by Peter, and we'll see who it's being written to here in just a minute. But at this time when he's writing this letter, I believe that Peter feels that his death is near. He is fixing to be martyred for the cause of Christ. And he's writing this letter, and he's writing it to some people that he had been writing letters to in the past, and that's the reason it's 2 Peter, because it follows 1 Peter. So maybe this is kind of like the second letter, if you will. And as we get into this, there's some things that Peter is going to begin to remind these people of as we get into the scripture. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look, it's going to tell us who the letter's written to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This letter is being written to saved people. It is being written to believers who have also obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. I want you to pay close attention to this part of this verse that says, who have obtained like precious faith. Because in my Christian life, I have made the statement before, as maybe some of you have, and I have definitely heard the statement from several preachers and several other Christians, that all that we need is faith. And when it comes to salvation, the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. I just want to be sure you're with me. If you go to sleep, I want to know that I've done it. I want to be sure you're with me to begin with. So as we look at the scripture this morning, we see here that Peter is writing this, and he says, I'm going to write it to you who have obtained like precious faith. And we know that faith is really important in our Christian life. We spent several weeks on Wednesday nights. I'll plug Wednesday night while we're going too. I love Wednesday night because I settle down just a little bit and we go through some scripture. But I love Wednesday night for that purpose. But on several Wednesday nights, we went through and we talked about faith, how our faith needs to increase in our Christian life, how to increase our faith, and the effect that'll have on our Christian life. I believe that faith is very, very important to our Christian life. But can I say to you this morning that faith is not all that you need? Faith is not the only ingredient that you need in your Christian life. I'll show it to you in God's word here in just a minute. Don't get up and leave on me just yet. But in verse number 1, let's read it again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. according as his divine power hath given us unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. As we read this, and as he's writing this letter, and he's saying, I'm writing to some people who are saved, who have obtained like precious faith like me. He said, and then I want you to look at what we obtained through that like precious faith. He said, it's been given to us by divine power. First of all, he says, you have the power through Jesus Christ. And as you get into verse number 3, he says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. The first song that the choir sung this morning, I claim Jesus. First of all, I want you to know is that song, as they were singing and they were talking about all of the riches and everything that this world has to offer, I want you to know that as God saved us and he delivered us from our sins, he didn't say that I'm going to give you the power to be rich. I'm going to give you the power to have all of these possessions. But what he did say, he said, I'm going to give you the power that is given unto us that pertain unto life and godliness. A lot of the things that we look at and we think of as success or that God is going to give us because we're children of God is not what God has promised us, but he has promised us things that pertain unto godliness and unto life. If you want to have a true abundant life, which is what we're talking about on Wednesday nights right now, it is going to be through godliness, not through worldliness. Amen. Verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We don't even have the time to go through this morning all of the great and precious promises that God has given us. But the day that I got saved, there were some promises given to me that God can never break. Because he says, I'm not a liar. I know that God is going to fulfill every single promise that he has ever made to me. And I don't have the time to go through them, but just some simple ones that has been precious to me is that he said he would never leave me and never forsake me, that he would never put more on me than I could bear. For one thing, I want you to know this. If one promise means more to me than anything else is that it will, no matter what happens in this world, is that I know that this world is not my home. I have a home over in glory. I don't know why glory is always over there, but it is. Glory, I have a home over in glory, and one day I'm going to get to be in the presence of God. I'm going to get to be there, you know, where I won't go to bed on one night and it seems like everything else is fine in the world, and you get up the next morning and you find out that your country may be on the edge of a war, that you find out that another country has fired missiles at we go to bed one night and everything's okay. The next day, everything's chaotic and in chaos. Look, this world is so unsure, but I'm so thankful for the promises of God being sure in my life. Let's continue reading. Verse number 5, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Let's go back into verse 4 for just a minute as he's talking about those great and exceeding precious promises. Look what he says, that those will produce in our life, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. You know how the Bible talks about the old man dying and the new man being in our lives? He's talking about getting that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is possible for us as Christian people to live in this world and not be of this world. It is possible for us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse number 5, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now listen, I'm not a very smart person, but I can see as we get into verse number 5 that faith is not all that you need. Now, when we're talking about salvation, yes, believing in Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he came and gave his life on a cross, he shed his blood for your sins, having the faith and believing in that and confessing him and asking him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, that is salvation. But if you want to live the life that God has for you past salvation, if you want to grow in that life, if you want to be where God wants you to be, there's some things that you have to add to that faith. There's some things that you're going to have to do as you walk in this Christian walk and through this world if you want to be what God wants us to be. He says, I need you to add in verse number 5, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, as we look at that word virtue in verses 5 through 7, there's going to be 7 things right here that the Bible tells us to add to our faith. The first being virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. You know, I believe that it is very important for us as Christian people who claim the name of Christ, who say that God has saved us, that we are children of God. I believe that it is important for us to have the highest possible morals that anybody on this earth could have. I believe that it is absolutely important for us to walk a walk that others know that there's something different about us. Yes, some of your friends may call you a goody two-shoes. Some of them may say, well, they think that you're just better than us. Hey, I wanted you to know something. I'm not better than anybody. But what I do know is I serve a great God who gave me great precious promises. And he is worthy for me to put a little effort into my life to live with virtue in my life like he's instructed me in his word to live a life of great moral excellence. Sometimes I struggle with small things. I struggle with going, you go to a restaurant and they accidentally put an extra order of fries on your plate. You know what I want to do? I want to take them back up here, even though I know they're not going to give them to anybody else, and say, hey, you gave me an extra order of fries. You say, well, preacher, that's about dumb. They're going to turn around and throw them in the trash. Yeah, but they gave me something I didn't pay for. It's theirs. They can throw it in the trash if they want to, or they can give it back to me if they want to. You say, well, that's small. But you know what? Those small things that happen in our life, you know, character, we all know this. Character is doing the right thing when nobody's looking, right? Okay. Would you live your life the same way that you do right now? Wait a minute. I got to stop right here. I fail in everything that I'm fixing to talk about this morning. I fail in it when I was reading about it. You want to know why the extra order of fries hit my mind? We went to Dario yesterday. They didn't give Addie or Maggie her chicken nuggets. They didn't give Maggie her chicken nuggets. And we were halfway through eating, and I looked down. I said, well, there's an extra order of fries. Well, we just tossed them. I could have eaten them because I usually eat everything that's left over, but I felt guilty about eating that thing of fries. My wife back there right now going, he's so crazy. But that's the way that I am. But I fail in so many different things. But what I want to ask you this morning is in our Christian lives, yeah, you have the faith. You receive these great exceeding promises. You receive that light, precious faith. But do we have moral excellence in our life? In everything that we do, are we choosing to have moral excellence in our life? Because everything that we do reflects on, first of all, on God in our life. It reflects on our salvation. It reflects on what we claim to be. But then it reflects on your family. It reflects on your church family. And it just keeps reflecting on and on and on about, are you who you say you are? Me too. Do we display great moral excellence in our lives? Verse number five. And add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge is spiritual truth. Are we really in God's word as much as we should be? Because we know we stand here on Sunday morning and we say that we know that God's word is true. I believe that this is the infallible word of God this morning. I believe every dot, every just letter in this word, I believe. I can't explain it all to you, but I believe it. Even the things that I can't explain and the things I don't understand, I still believe it. And as I get in God's word and it says, add to my faith, virtue, and to my virtue, knowledge. How much time do we spend in God's word and saying, God, give me wisdom about your word. God, reveal your word to me. I know it is a final authority and an absolute truth. So, God, I need knowledge of your word, because we're living in a day and a time to where this world and our society and everything around us is wanting to muck up the word of God. It is wanting to make it so mucky and so miry and so cloudy that nobody knows what spiritual truth is, that nobody knows what divine power is, that nobody knows what absolute truth is, or final authority. Well, I want you to know something, that this is absolute truth, final authority. We as Christians need to know this and have spiritual truth added into our Christian life. It is so hard in the day that we live in. Just little things that my kids run into school and they come home and they say, well, Daddy, what about this? This is going on and I run into this situation and, Daddy, they say this and you've always said this. And you know what? It has no bearing on what I always say. And no bearing on what they say. Right here is what it's got a bearing on. But I'm afraid that we as Christian people, we know that we have the final authority, the absolute truth in our hands, and we carry it to church with us on Sunday, and we know where it's laying the next Sunday because it hadn't moved since then. I've been there before. I've been there. You know, sometimes if I didn't have the responsibility of feeding others or teaching or whatever, there are times that my weeks are so busy that mine would lay in the same spot. God help us, because I can't be what God has called me to be without adding to my life knowledge. Verse number 6, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance is nothing more than self-control. How much self-control do you have in your life, in all aspects of your life? You know, sometimes I can have great self-control. And then there's other times when I lose control. Anybody in here ever lost self-control? Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's got a specific example that you're thinking of right now where I lost it. And it ain't always got to be an angry kind of thing. It can be a ton of different things. I think I've told y'all before that one of my pet peeves, or one thing that just drives me bonkers, is if I hit my head. I don't know why, but if I hit my head on something, I trip out. Absolutely trip out. I was in the warehouse one day, and I was getting some PVC fittings out of a box, and I raised up, and I couldn't have hit my head more solid. I was already mad, busy, and everything else. Ain't that amazing how we pray for God to bless our business, and then when he does, we get mad about it? Anyway, so I was loading those PVC fittings, raised up, and I bumped my head. And when I bumped my head, the other half a box of fittings that I had in my hand, whoo! I mean, I slung them through the warehouse. Kicked one or two. I mean, I throwed me a little fit right there in the warehouse. Now listen, I've now told all y'all about it, and I think I've shared it with the Wednesday night crowd before. So all of y'all know about it, but at that time, nobody else was in the building but me, thank God. I was there early, and nobody else was there to see me throw my little temper tantrum. But you know what? I lost self-control. There was no need for that. Those fittings didn't do anything to me. But it made me feel better for just a minute, if you just want to be honest about it. But we have to be careful, because we lose self-control. Well, preacher, I don't have trouble like that. I don't have a temper. Well, what about our tongue? You know, the Bible tells us in James that our tongue is set on fire of hell. You know, we got to be careful with this mouth. Because this mouth, in just a few seconds, can negate everything that you've tried to prove for the last 6 weeks in your Christian life. You can live a life that just points to God and points that you have been a receiver of that light, precious faith, and in just a few minutes, losing self-control, this mouth can just wipe the slate clean on all of that in your life. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but I'm talking about losing your testimony to the people that are around you. In just a few minutes, you can negate all of that in our life. Now, he's saying, I want you to know that this is a cycle of Christian living. Peter, I believe it, as he's writing this, he says, I want you to be reminded of your original salvation. And then I want to also let you know that you're in a cycle. That you're in a cycle of your Christian life. And it seems like sometimes I think I got steps 1, 2, and 3, and then I start all over again. He says, I need you to add virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience. Patience is endurance. I want you to know something. If we're going to live a Christian life, if we're going to walk the way that God wants us to walk, if we're going to put the example out there that God wants us to have, we've got to be persistent, we've got to have endurance, and you better be determined. Because it's easier to quit. It's easier to say, I'm done. You know what? I can just do like everybody else and everything's going to be fine. Not so. If you're a child of God, you're fixing to get a whipping from God when you take on that mind. But as we look at our lives, sometimes you have to be determined. You have to have that patience and that endurance and that persistence if you want to walk the walk that God has called us to walk. He says, I want you to add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness. And in my notes beside of godliness, the only thing I wrote was, wow. Add godliness to your life. How much does your life really reflect God? How much does my life really reflect God? Sometimes, hey, especially here, I'm reflecting God pretty good this morning. Man, I'm preaching God's word, and I'm with like-minded people. This is a good place to reflect God. But what about at the workplace tomorrow when the conversation turns to something that I don't need to be a part of? How much do I reflect God then? I've been guilty of jumping into that conversation. I've been guilty in sticking around to that conversation. And I've also been guilty of being holier than thou during that conversation, when the only thing I really needed to do was just turn and walk away. removing myself from that and reflect a little bit of godliness. How much does our life really reflect God in our lives? Now look, let's keep going. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, as I look at brotherly kindness this morning, that also means just brotherly love. Among other Christian believers, but I also believe also among the lost. I got to move on or I'm not going to get done this morning. Verse number 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is choosing to love and acting on it. You know, there are people in this world that I've had to choose to love because I don't want to. They've done me wrong. They've run that mouth. I know preachers ain't supposed to say that, but let's just go ahead and put it where. They've run that mouth, but I'm done. Cut them off. Y'all don't have nobody like that, do you? Y'all have never even unfriended anybody on Facebook, have you? Y'all, I'm proud of y'all. But there are people in my life who I have to choose to love. I'm tired of them. I'll just be honest with you. I'm to the place I don't have a lot of love for them. I don't have, and charity is backing up and saying, yeah, but God told me to love them, so I'm going to choose to love them. And I'm going to put my love in action with that. So there's the things that we need to add to our faith. Verse number eight. Let's see what happens if we add these things. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, I want you to notice, just be real clear. I think I have been, but I just want to be real clear, that it didn't say if these things be added that you receive a crown of life and you get to go to heaven. Because that was established when you confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. These are things that we add past that to walk the Christian walk that God wants us to walk. And he says, and if you do that, he says, you will abound that you may be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. If you lack these things in your life, the Bible says that you're a blind Christian and that you are walking afar, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And this is the part that spoke to my heart as I was studying this week, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I believe sometimes, I'm going to probably stop right there this morning. I believe sometimes when my Christian walk gets to where it's moving away from God, when my Christian walk gets lazy, when my Christian walk gets to where, you know, I'm in the motion of it. I'm going to church on Sunday mornings. I go to church on Wednesday night. I pick up my Bible a couple of times during the week. I pray before I eat. When somebody sends me a text and says, hey, somebody needs praying for, I send them back the little praying hands and I say, I'm praying for them. And you know, when I get into a place that it's just a rut and a routine, and I'm not really seeking God's will in my life. I'm not really wanting to add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. I'm not really seeking for that in my life because my ideas and my mind is set on something else. When I get to that place in my life, I think if you'll really get to the root of the problem, it's because we have forgotten where God brought us from. We have forgotten. Look, it says right here. Let's read that again. Verse number 9. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I believe if every day, if we could really get up and remember what God has done for us, remember the day that you realized that you were lost. It doesn't matter the age that you were. It doesn't matter what sin you had in your life. It don't matter how far away from God you were or the burdens or the trials that may have brought you to God. All of that doesn't matter. What matters is that at that point in time, you realize that your eternity was hopeless without God. You realize without God that you was going to stand before him and you were going to be guilty of sin and that you were going to be spending your eternity in a devil's hell. That's what mattered at that very moment when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, if I would get up every day and if I could remember the way that I was right then, whether it be scared, whether it be hopeless, whether it be in a place of just complete desolation, whatever it is, if I could remember that feeling that I had and then remember how I felt after I said, Jesus, I know that you gave your life for me on a cross. I want you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to forgive me and make me one of your children and become Lord of my life as I go through my life. I believe if I could remember those things in my life, I believe that my desire to walk the Christian walk would be a little stronger than what it is in my life. But see, things get good in my life. Me and my family are saved. We're all on our way to heaven. As far as I know, they all profess Jesus Christ. And I get to where I just sit back and go, well, I hope everybody else is doing pretty good because we're doing okay. Until trouble comes Boy, we hit our knees then, don't we? God, I need you. What have you done your spouse like you do God? What have I done my friends like I do God? I only called on them when I was in complete despair and had no other choice but to call on them. See, that's not the walk that God wants with us. As Peter is writing this letter, he's saying, I want to remind you of your original salvation, and I want to remind you of the cycle that you're in. The point of this message this morning is not to look at us and say, oh, we're just sorry, excuses for Christians, that we got so much trouble in our lives and we got so much sin in our lives and we're not following God. The point is not that. The point is so that we all realize that we're in this cycle and that we all one day may do really good at something and the next day we may crash and burn at something else. And see, when you crash and burn, that's when the devil wants to jump on you and go, hey, you're supposed to be a Christian. And he wants to shame you out of getting up and letting God dust you off and get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't let Satan do that to you. There have been so many times in my life as a young Christian, as a Sunday school teacher in my church, as a deacon in my church, as a pastor of a church, that I have crashed and burned in things that I should have done for God and the way that my life should have been for God. There have been so many times that I've crashed and burned. But you know what? I can always go back and remember the day when Jesus Christ purged me from my old sin. And I get up and say, God, this life, there's no possible way that I can do this without you. I tried to do it on my own. I crashed and burned. God, please forgive me for what I've done. Set my feet back where I'm supposed to be. Light my path. Let me get back in your word where I'm supposed to be. God, I want to be right back in that same fellowship where I was before I got the big head and I took a left turn somewhere along the way. God, I want you to help me with all of that. And you know what God's done every single time? He's brushed me off and he's held up his end of the deal and put me right back where I was supposed to be. I don't know where your Christian life is right now. Jennifer, if you will, come get us a song. Hannah, I don't know where your Christian life is right now. Do you know what? I feel like even as I see Peter writing this letter to people he had been writing letters to, and he just says, I just want to constantly remind you. And if you go and you read this, there's more places in here where he says, I want to remind you, remind you, remind you. Because I believe that every Christian, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, has this cycle in their life. And I believe it's one reason that God showed us the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt in the way that he showed it to us. Because I believe that we're all in this cycle and we get to where we're living holy, we're following God, we're seeking God, we're reading, we're praying, we're doing all those things, and then for some reason or the other, whether it be a sin temptation, whether it be a burden or a trial, whatever it is, we crash and burn for a minute. Hey, and even saying that, I'm so thankful that I don't ever have to burn. I know that I'll never see hell. But in my Christian life, I crash and burn for just a minute. I can remember being in high school. I can remember wanting to live for God. I can remember coming to church and, man, I would sing in the choir, played the bass for the choir, and every Sunday I was hitting that altar. God help me. Because I would leave church on Sunday going, man, I'm going to do better this week. I'm going to really live it. I'm going to tell others this. And somewhere during the week I'd crash and burn. But I'm so thankful that God never, ever pushed me aside. That God never said, that's it, I'm done with you. But he always said, I'm right here. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. We've looked at some things this morning that the Bible instructs us to add to our Christian lives. To grow, to produce fruit, to not be barren. We've looked at some things this morning. You might be looking and saying, hey, preacher, all seven of those I am good on. If you want to sit down, preacher, if you want to sit down with me after church, I'll try to help you. I'd be more than happy to. Maybe you're like me and you say, well, there's seven there. I'm not even going to tell you how many I fell on. But preacher, I do want to walk where God wants me to walk. I do want to be where God wants me to be. I do want to add these things to my life. Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, would you pray for me that my Christian walk? I see your hand. You put it right back down. There are hands all over our congregation. You're not alone. See, that's the whole point of the message. We're all in the same cycle, in the same boat. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I can't remember when I was purged from my sins because I've never been saved. I don't have these exceeding great precious promises, but I don't want to leave here lost. Would you just pray for me? I can't say that I'll come today, but would you just pray for me? Preacher, I'm lost and I don't want to die and go to hell. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for this day. God, I want to thank you for the way that this word spoke to my life. Even though, God, sometimes it hurts so bad. That being sharper than a two-edged sword, it cuts coming in and going. But God, I want to thank you for revealing this in our lives, that we may have the relationship with you that you want us to have, that we may live in a way that you'd be pleased with, and God, that we may have an effect on other people's lives. God, help me to live in the way that you'd want me to. God, help me not to get lazy in my Christian life. It's going to take some work, God. Most of all, it's going to take me leaning and trusting on you. God, for the hands that was raised, you know the needs and I don't, and I pray that you'll work in those lives. God, if we need to come to the altar, talk to you, God, I pray that you'll give us the courage. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, Hannah's going to sing a verse of a song. This altar's open. If you need to come and ask God for help in your Christian life, if you need to come and say, God, I'm sorry because I'm failing in my Christian life, there's no better time than right now to come to this altar and talk things over with God.
I'm just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning. Let me ask you something, just with a quick amen. Has anybody else ever in here ever crashed and burned as a Christian? Amen. Absolutely. I hope the smoke is gone right now. It happens, don't it? But ain't it good to remember being purged from your sins? Amen.